Alrighty, classic sounds there from Stevie Wonder. Great 70s sound. Brings back memories, all right? Some of them not so good. Anyway, time to catch up with Richard Kite, who is the project lead for Thriving Southland. Richard, good afternoon. Welcome to the muster. How is it?
Afternoon, Andy. Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, the way the weather is at the moment, can't complain at all.
No. Well, it's not going to stay like that, and I guess that's part of what we're talking about here. We are heading into winter, and we do know that there has been certainly a lot of focus on winter grazing practices over the past 18 months to 2 years, probably longer than that, but it's been really, really focused on Southland to a greater or a lesser extent. Thriving Southland is a group that's been set up working with catchment groups. There's been big changes, though, hasn't there, in the way that farmers are actually attacking their or going about their winter grazing, aren't they?
Oh, certainly. I think, I've noticed, certainly in the last 12 to 18 months, you look around and you actually see the critical source areas haven't been cultivated and you know, people have been thinking about the way they put the baleage out. So, yeah, things are actually moving along. And as I say, we are in the spotlight, but I think farmers are in a good position, and it's just keeping that change moving, isn't it?
Yeah. Some people would say there's not enough. The awareness is there, though. It's growing year by year, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. And I think very few people that would be... wouldn't be aware of the need to actually implement good management practice. But I do. I think sometimes people, if you've been doing something the same way for a lot of years, it's sometimes hard to actually lift your head up and say, oh, well, how could we do this differently?
So, yeah. What's the benefit for a farmer of joining a catchment group?
Well, I think the catchment groups themselves, sediment control and nutrient management, and looking at the catchment as a whole, looking at your farm, but you've got a whole group of people around you who are all thinking about the same stuff. So if you join a catchment group, and you might have a bit of a some people, not all farms are easy to manage around winter, and you might have a bit of a gnarly farm or a piece of wintering ground, and there's a whole lot of brains, I suppose, sat around in those groups that can give a hand and to talk to. Yeah,
sharing experience, I suppose, is what you're talking about.
Exactly, and I suppose just somebody else's opinion can give you a different way of looking at the way you're managing things, and I know it's. It can be hard for people. There's pressure around staffing as well at the moment, but it's actually now's the time before we go into winter actually to have a good look at your wintering plan, getting it down on paper, getting the staff all aware of it. But also, as I say, it might be just saying asking somebody to come and have a look and see what they think. It might be one of the sector groups or. Or as I say, getting along to a catchment group or some of the catchment group leaders and asking them what they think.
It could be a bit challenging, though, couldn't it, Richard, for a farmer who might be slightly slow off the mark to get involved in a catchment group. They might be a bit intimidated.
Yeah, but having worked with the catchment groups, Andy, they're pretty non-threatening. They're non-judgmental. They're just about good outcomes. So you get along there and you sit down and you're just talking amongst your peers. And I think that's it's a great way of actually working through issues and looking at them. Picking the brains of your peers, really. Yeah.
Mm. And I suppose when you are involved in a catchment group, sort of, quite mature, you'd get farmers who were challenged with each other but you'd get some pretty comprehensive discussions amongst them.
Oh, you certainly do. It just doesn't become about good management practice. It becomes who's got what's the best way of implementing good management practice, taking it to the next level, bringing and putting, thinking about the animal welfare side of things as well. That's obviously got to come into it, the way you're grazing your crops, the way you're looking at your critical source areas. As I say, we're seeing critical source areas now that haven't been cultivated, but there are ones that have, but it's not the end of the world, and it's actually working around a plan around managing those, as well as managing animal welfare at the same time. Mm. Sounds a lot, but when you break it down, those practices, the good management practices, there's a lot of information on them, and it's pretty straightforward.
The wintering plans themselves, this sort of thing, if you're starting out, it always seems intimidating, but it's not that complicated, is it?
No. It's and if you look at some of the resources available, a lot of it's around actually you're just drawing your paddock, drawing your critical source areas, and then thinking about the way to graze it. So as you're grazing uphill, you're not bringing your sediment into your critical source areas. And also thinking about your prevailing winds from a weather perspective for your animals. And maybe looking at, you may have paddocks that are wetter than others, and just thinking through, well, when are we going to graze them? And there might be a spell. And normally there's a spell in the winter when they're drier. You might be looking at those paddocks, your heavier paddocks during the dry periods. So it's not, I think there's so much information out there. Sometimes you think it is a big deal, but it isn't. It's pretty straightforward, as in just thinking through the basics, how you're going to manage it.
Yeah. And working with the catchment group or other people in the group to share that information. I think, Thriving Southland itself, the role of Thriving Southland is to work with, coordinate and work with all the catchment groups?
Yeah, it certainly is. So we're there to support catchment groups. Catchment groups take the lead, and we're there to help them, support them with the resource they need. To achieve what they want to achieve. And as I say, in the wintering area, it's helping them if they need information around, and there's plenty of information out there, but if they need information around management plans, winter management plans. And I think it's going to be important this year that everybody does have a winter management plan. And as we said, it doesn't need to be a 10-page document. It just needs to be, we've thought about it, and this is what it looks like, and everybody's on board with what we're going to do.
Yeah. And as we said, document it. I noticed in that wonderful newsletter you guys put out, I'm not sure how people subscribe to it. I've managed to subscribe to it somehow. you had a breakfast recently at the Ascot.
Yes, we did, and we were just talking. We were talking with the different sector groups and all the people who support farmers around how they can get alongside and support the catchment groups as well. And a lot of them are. They're already in there helping them. But it's, I suppose it's a space that's growing. We've gone from 18 to, I think, we're about 25 catchment groups now. And it's about people making a difference on the ground, an actual difference on the ground. So.
All right. And Thriving Southland itself, if people want information, website, I guess?
Yep. Certainly. We've got the website there, and we've also got the Facebook page that people can go to. Yep.
All right, plenty of info there. All right, Richard. Hey, thanks for your time. Richard Kite, Project Lead for Thriving Southland. Thanks for that. We will catch up with you again and go to the Thriving Southland website, Thriving Southland Facebook page, or just get hold of your local catchment group. They're basically all interlocked now, aren't they?
They are. You can get hold of your catchment group through Thriving Southland, or you might have them through their own Facebook pages. Yep.
All right. Thanks very much, mate. Thanks for your time. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Wintering plans. Not as daunting as they. It's just like anything. It's how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Start. Just sit down and start. Document it. And that's what they're looking for. Just a form of documentation which proves you've thought about it. Might be up in your head, but unfortunately, today's day and age, you need to prove it. Rightio. Guy Michaels next. Dairy NZ. You can.